Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 356, The Balance of Grace and Faith. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, February 4th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's jump in. We are going to start a two-part series called The Perfect Partnership, so this week and next week. Did you know that God has called you, if you are a born-again, blood-bought follower of Jesus, that he has invited you into a perfect partnership with him? You and him together are the perfect partnership. The Lord gave me this title, gave me this series many months ago, and I've been waiting to do it, and now's the time. So, praise the Lord. It's so important that we understand what this partnership is, that he's calling us, or what he has called us to, because sometimes we are lazy, I'll say it that way, and we try to put our part onto God, and we're waiting for things, we're waiting for God to do things, and actually that's part of our part. It's part of our role and responsibility according to the word. So that's what we're going to kind of dive into today so that we can understand what does the Bible say? What are the instructions that God left for us so that we can function well in this partnership that he's called us to with the Holy Spirit living inside of us so that we can see breakthrough and victory in our lives? Yes. We all want that, right? Amen. Is there anyone that doesn't want breakthrough or victory in their lives? Or, you know, one of the promises of God in his word, you want that to come to pass in your life. You want to receive those things in your lives. So let's dive into the word today. Imagine this. Imagine a friend comes to you frustrated and asks, "How do I receive from God?" And then he continues to say, you know, "I've been praying, I've been reading my Bible, I've been going to church, I'm paying my tithe, Pastor Harley, I've paid my tithe, but I've been doing everything like a good Christian should do, but my circumstances aren't changing. My children aren't getting saved, or my debts aren't really being paid, or I've still got this pain in my neck or back or wherever, and it's not going away." So how would you respond to that friend? So the truth is that if you think about that thinking and you listen to that friend saying, "Well, I've done this and this and this," they're thinking that their performance of doing this and praying and reading the word and giving tithes and offerings is going to earn them something from God. Right? And that is a big misunderstanding. Our works, working up things, don't earn our salvation, don't earn our healing. And we've got to understand that. God wants us to understand it. We don't just have like a contract slot machine relationship with the Lord. You know, genie in a bottle, you know, I make my wish, give me that, grant my wish, or drop in a slot, you know. No, it's not so transactional like that. He invites us to a relationship. So that's a big characteristic of this partnership that he has with us, is he wants relationship with us. Reading the Bible, paying tithes and offerings, going to church, all those things are good things. And those help us. And we need those things. But that's not going to twist God's arm so that I can get my healing or so that I can get my breakthrough. Right? So this we're going to talk about, and that's the title of the message today, is The Balance of Grace and Faith. Because this is really, it comes down to two words that we're talking about. We're talking about grace, and we're talking about faith. And when we understand the balance of those two things, and how they must be in balance in our lives, and who is doing what in this perfect partnership with the Lord, then we're going to get somewhere. according to his word. So we're going to let his word guide us and lead us. I guess I could say the message last week about the word was really the first one in the series, because really that's our foundation, the word of God, and taking care of our hearts with the word of God, following after the word in our lives. So let's do that. Let's apply that and apply the word to this of what we're talking about, this balance of faith and grace. So the best verse in the Bible to illustrate that is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We know this verse, but do we really understand it? And do we really live it out in our lives? This is, if you're familiar with the Revive wristband and tools that we use, it's the blue on the wristband. It's the blue on the gospel track card when we go out and use those tools to share the gospel. So Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the ESV says it this way: for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Listen to it in the NLT. I like this NLT version. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. That states it pretty plainly, right? When you believed, God saved you. Like, he did it 2,000 years ago on the cross, but when you believed that he did it, that's the moment of your salvation, when it clicked for you and you believed it. So this is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, New Living Translation. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So that's what you would answer to your friend that's saying, why haven't I gotten, you know, why aren't my circumstances changing? You say, because Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it's a gift from God. You have been saved by grace through your faith, right? When you believed. Says salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it. We shouldn't boast about it, because it, meaning salvation, that was all Jesus on the cross. He did it all on the cross of Calvary for us. We get the part of receiving that through our faith, through us believing. So, all right, we're talking about grace. We're talking about faith. Who gave grace? You can answer. It's okay. God. God gave grace. That's his part. Grace, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. That's God's part. He's provided everything to us through Jesus on the cross. It's grace is his unmerited, his undeserved favor. It has nothing to do with us earning or striving or working our way to get something from God. Because as we just read, it said, this is not of your own doing. This is not from yourself. This is a gift. I should have brought my red box that is a gift, that it's all shiny and it's got a bow on it. When you get a gift, if I hand Paul a gift, I got a gift for you, what does he have to do? Yeah, take it and then open and drink, right? Yes. He's got to receive it. I could stand there all day like this, and if he's not taking it, he's not going to get the gift. My hand's going to get tired holding this. Take it. Yeah, and then he could take it, and he's saying, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. And I'm like, okay, you take it. He received it, and he's saying, I'm so thirsty. Yeah, I gave you water, but he's not drinking it. He's not opening it and drinking it. There's a problem, and he's waiting. God, I'm so thirsty. God, send water. He's got it in his hand, right? Praise the Lord. I took it back. Well, I might need it. Here, you can have it. Do you need some water, Paul? No, he's a Coke Zero guy, so it's all right. We're good. He'll leave the water to me. Praise the Lord. All right, so grace is whose part? God's part, right? Through Jesus. Grace existed long before you and me came to be, came into existence, right? Jesus did this of grace on the cross thousands of years ago. It was already taken care of. So according to this verse, then our part is what? Receive. And what's that word? Begins with an F, guys. Faith. Whoa. Faith. All right. So we've got grace. It's good when the teacher gives you clues, right? Hints. You've got grace that is God's part through Jesus Christ on the cross, not as a result of works. It's a gift. And then faith is our part. That's what we have to do in order to complete, I don't want to say transaction, but complete what God and receive what God provided for us. So let's do an illustration. Everyone likes illustrations so we can see. I'm going to call my assistant, Mr. Liam, up forward. Come on up, Liam. He's going to help me. All right. Liam, are you awake? He's awake. He's not awake. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. So Jesus died on the cross for Liam 2,000 years ago, way before God dreamed, or not dreamed, before God knitted him together in his mother's womb. Do you agree? Yes. Jesus died for him on the cross. Yes. That was God's grace. So I've got a check up here. It says God's blank check. The check was written 2,000 years ago. Now, Liam is a reality from God's heart, God's dream. He's manifested. He's God's child, right? And it says, pay to the order of Liam Otsland on the check. So the memo here, or the request, is salvation. So according to what we read here, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So what does he need to exchange or give in order to for this to be released to him so he can take this to the bank? Faith. Okay, show him what you got. He's got faith. And who can see, can you see that, Eli? What's that a picture of? The Bible, right? Because last week we talked about the Word of God and that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. So faith comes from this, from the Word. We read the Word, it gets into our heart, it turns into faith. We believe, okay? So he releases that. He hears about Jesus. He hears and reads the Word and he believes, right? So you come to me. With your faith. There you go. Act happy. You get to go to the bank and cash that. He's happy. That's his happy. Praise the Lord. He gets salvation. He's saved. His debts are paid, right? He's got this check. He can take it to the bank. His sins are forgiven. His guilt, his stains are washed away. Paid in full. Yes. And he can go cash that. And it was his faith that released it. Okay, let's do a second example. Yep, put that one there. That's fine. The second example is, you know, Jesus did a complete work on the cross. So he died 2,000 years ago on the cross, and you have heard of the word sozo, which is that Greek or Hebrew? Greek, thank you. Greek word for salvation, sozo. It means full package. It means Jesus not only died to wipe out Liam's sin and his guilt and his, you know, redeem him from the curse of the law, but also to die for his healing, for his complete healing, for his complete wellness and wholeness, to be sound in his mind, to have prosperity and live in abundance in every sense of the word. Sozo is the whole package. It's the shalom peace of God where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. So not only he gets this this check for salvation. Now, Jesus has written him other blank checks, and those are for any of the promises, this sozo package, like healing. So we chose healing, and I wrote, well, the Spirit of God wrote, this is payable to Liam for healing. Jesus Christ signed it. Okay, so like this friend of this example that we talked about, you know, sometimes we're trying to get our healing and we don't understand that it's only released by our faith. So pick one of those. He's going to try to get this. What that says, can you see it? It's small. It says going to church. So try to take that. Nope. Sorry. Going to church isn't going to make him healed. Well, maybe you can get healed in church. I'm not saying that. And you can get healed today. But it's about you've got to release your faith. Just the act of walking in this building. And if you have your faith button turned off, your heart is turned off, you're not going to receive your healing. Right? Okay, try another one. Try again. What does that one say? It says, show everyone, Holy Bible. It says, reading the Bible. He's read his Bible every day. Look how good he's read his Bible. Nope. Sorry. No transaction here. But Jesus wants to heal him, and he already did it through grace. He did it. It's available to him. He's just using the wrong currency, right? Okay, try again. God gives many chances, right? That one says, can you see it? Somebody can see it? Prayer. Praying hands. Oh, but he's praying even. Now it's, oh man, God's like, he's praying. Nope, sorry. If there's no faith in your prayer, what good is it? All right, do you got anything else? Try again, my son, you can get it. Show everyone. Service, serving, being in ministry, coming and going and doing. Maybe I'll get healed then. God, I'm working for you. God, I'm doing things. I'm not just sitting there. I'm in church. I'm doing stuff. I'm serving you, God. I'm loving you. Why can't I be healed? That's what all he's saying and thinking. Nope. Sorry. And the Spirit of God comes like a dove and rests on him and helps him out. And he gets faith. Yay! Okay, act like you're healed, Liam. Really? All right. He's so excited. Thank you. He's healed. Praise the Lord. He's healed because he released his faith, right? The perfect partnership. Grace, what Jesus did, and our faith released. So that we can take these checks that God has written for us through Jesus, signed by Jesus Christ, that we can receive what he wants us to have. Amen? Does that help? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Like I said before, sometimes we're waiting for God to move, and he's waiting for us. And there's this standstill because, God, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you doing this thing? Why aren't you listening to me? And the result of that for us, I know because I've lived this, is you feel like you're spinning your wheels. You feel like you're wasting time. You're not getting results. And that can really, if you're not taking care of your heart at the same time and really in relationship with Jesus about why aren't I not getting results, then your heart can get hardened. You can turn off your heart to God and pound your fist and say, you know, you're not faithful. You're not true. Your word isn't true in my life. It can cause frustration, right? It can cause you to doubt his word and what he says. Because you said that I'm healed, but I'm not getting it. And we get frustrated. And I could totally walk away from God because I turn my heart off to him if I'm not in relationship and understanding what his word says about what my role is. So then we throw in some, like Liam was doing, some great works. And we all have done this, right? We can relate. where we throw in some great works to see if that'll help, if that'll twist God's arm so that we can get what we need, we get what we're praying through, we can get our breakthrough. So let's review this. God has given us grace through Jesus' death on the cross. And, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us. This is another part of, he's given us so much through that one act of Jesus dying on the cross. He's given us so much. He's given us the Holy Spirit, one of the things, to live inside of us. John 14, 16 through 17, it says this, and I will ask the Father. It's John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another paracletos, another helper. That's what those words mean. This is Jesus when he's about to leave and he's telling his disciples, I'm going to give you a helper who will never leave you, like Elizabeth said. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives within you. You know the Holy Spirit because he lives within you. And later, he will be in you. So, he's our helper. But how can the Holy Spirit help me if I don't, one, know what I'm supposed to do, what my part is, of how to receive salvation, healing, anything that the Bible promises me? I've got to know what to do, and I've got to know about it. I've got to know that it's available, and I've got to know what to do. What am I supposed to do? If I don't know those things, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to help, right? He's come to help me. He's my helper. But I've got to do something so that he can help me do it. And he'll help me get there. But I've got the body, right? He's spirit that lives inside of me. I have hands and feet with eyes and mouth and all these wonderful capabilities. I've got to do something, and he's going to help me when I take a step to do it. So this means no more passivity for us, no more being passive, no more just sitting there when you have the water, but you're saying, I'm thirsty, and it's in your hand. We got to press in to God. We've got to take off the cap so we can drink from what he has promised us. We've got to get out of our spiritual lazy boy chair, just clicking, 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 scrolling, scrolling, and partner with the Holy Spirit so that he has something to help. He's also given us, and this is a whole nother series of messages, he's given us the blood, he's given us his name, he's given us the word. Those are other tools, all provided to us through his grace, through what Jesus did for us on the cross. But we're going to go and focus a little more. We're going to go a little bit more in depth into our part about faith, because we've got to understand how to release this. How, what do I do with faith? How do I just get it? how do I make it work for me so that I can be like Liam and get my salvation and get my healing and get all the breakthroughs? And so that all the promises, you know, it's the Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. But I want them to be yes and amen in my life, that they have come to pass, that I have manifestation of it, that they've become a reality in my life. And it's through faith. So let's dig into this a little bit more. The Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin many years ago and gave him a sermon, and he showed up to him like in a vision, and he told him that the sermon should be titled How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And he detailed this. I got this story out of the Bible Faith Study Course. We did a few years back, we did the Bible Prayer Study Course, which was awesome. And this is awesome too. It's very meaty and very good. So this story and this testimony is in here of this vision that we're going to talk about, where Jesus showed up to him and he said, you know, he gave him this sermon and he said, it's called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, similar to like take a check, right? How to cash in the check with God. So it fits along. We're gonna talk about this. Jesus gave Kenneth E. Hagin 4 points to put into operation concerning how to receive anything that God promises from his word. So the Lord told him, quote, this is what the Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him, if anyone anywhere will take these 4 steps or will put these 4 principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. That sounds good, right? Praise the Lord. You want to know more? Okay, let's talk about the 4 steps. So, you know, there's some areas of faith that take a little time to develop. For example, if you have a financial need, maybe you've got a lot of debt and you're believing to pay off those debt. Let's say you need a certain amount of money by a certain deadline to pay for something. Then you're going to maybe need, it's going to be developed over time. It may not be just one and done. It could be one and done. But, you know, God meets us where we are with our faith. We have to develop our faith to the level of the need that we have, right? So even in the hardest of areas, whether it's financial or with your body or any of the areas, if you practice these Bible principles over time, a little bit every day, a little bit, be persistent and consistent over time, you will see results. It could also be like this, because our faith can be like this. Praise the Lord. But don't get discouraged if it's a process and you need to just keep building your faith, work on increasing your faith through hearing the word. Because you know what? The word is a rock, a steady rock, and it never comes back null or void. And when we put Bible principles from the word into practice in our lives, they're going to produce results in our life. Amen? Amen? You're okay? You're awake? All right. So four steps to receive your answer from God. S-D-R-T. Those are the initials of the first word, the key words of these are the 4 steps to receive your answer from God. S-D-R-T. All right. First, we'll come back to that. I'll tell you what the words are in a minute. Let's read Mark 5. We know this story, but we're going to tear it apart and apply these 4 steps, what Kenneth Hagin received from Jesus. Mark 5, 24 to 28. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. This is the story that Jesus used to teach Kenneth Hagin and gave him this sermon and said the 4 points to receive your answer from God. Write a ticket with God. All right, Mark 5, are you there? 24. Mark 5, 24, Jesus went with him and all the people followed. He was asked to go to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter, right, who was dying. So Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Okay, that version, it's an NLT. Some versions say, for she said to herself. Some say said, some say thought. So the first step in how to write your own ticket with God, do you remember what letter it was? S, good, you're awake. S means, it stands for say it. Say it. She said it, didn't she, in verse 28? She thought or said to herself. Now, if you're not first having a thought about something, then you're probably not going to say it. If she had a different thought, she could have had a lot of different thoughts. Like, it's no use. I've tried everything. I've spent everything I have. It's no use. Yeah, they tell me about Jesus. If she had those thoughts, she would have said something different, right? But she had thoughts of faith that lined up with faith because she had heard about Jesus. So then she spoke it out. And probably it was over and over until she was able to push through the crowd, right? We have to say and speak what we desire that's in line with God's will, what his promise says. This woman, her part was to speak. It was to release words of faith after she had heard about Jesus. So we hear about Jesus. We hear, oh, he died for me. So that I can be healed. I'll finish that. We've got to release those words from that faith that's in our heart. We've got to speak it out. Whether we're speaking positive words or negative words, that's what we're going to receive. So if we're speaking negativity over ourselves, oh, I'm just sick and tired. Oh, I'm so tired. That's one that I'd struggled with in the past, saying and declaring how much I was tired. Well, guess what? Am I going to feel a burst of energy if all day long I'm saying, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. No. How's that going to happen? That's totally opposite, right? I've got to start saying, I've got the strength of a buffalo. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's what I need to say, right? Proverbs 18 says about this little tool that we have. Everybody stick out your tongue. It's okay to stick out your tongue in church. That's a tool right there. Are we going to use it to speak positive and speak life or speak negative and speak death over our situation? Proverbs 18, it says, 21, says the tongue can bring death or life. Everybody say death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, if we're talking whether death, if I'm speaking death or I'm speaking life, I'm going to reap the consequences, reap the fruit of what I'm speaking. So let's think about what we're speaking. Let's listen to ourselves, speaking to myself. Don't talk defeat. We're our own worst enemy sometimes. We're talking ourselves out of what Jesus already paid for. It's done. The check is written. Right? So that's the first step, to speak it. Talk about how big our God is and what his word says and how anything is possible to him who believes, right? So the first step, speak. Put a voice to your faith. Speak, say it. That's number one. Number two, what letter are we on? Who's paying attention? D. Okay, do it. Nike said this. Just do it. But Jesus said it way before. Just do it, right? Mark 5, okay, 27 and 28. We're at the part of the story where it says she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd. She was an unclean woman. She was a woman and she was unclean. She shouldn't have even been out in public. But she pushed her way through the crowd to do what she had said, right? She took action. It said she touched his robe. It wouldn't have done any good if she had said, "Oh, if I might touch his clothes, I will be whole," but then never did it. She could have just gone on pushing through, "I'll touch his clothes and I'll be whole. When I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. When I touch his clothes, I'll be whole." If she never reached out to do it, the story would have ended differently, right? She had to do it. Jesus didn't do it for her. Nobody else around her could do it for her. She had to do it. She had to activate her faith, what she had been saying. She had to reach out and do something. Because we all know the verse, faith without works is dead. There's no life in it. We've got to put life, give life to our faith. How do we do that? By doing it. By acting it out. So in this vision that Kenneth Hagin received from Jesus, Jesus said to him, your actions defeat you or they put you over, like over into victory. According to your action, you receive or you are kept from receiving what you want from God. Wow, that's powerful. Did you get that? So we've got to say it and speak words of life, and then we have to do it. We have to take action. So if you're saying, I'm healed, that's what you're believing for, and you start saying that I'm healed, so what would be an action for that? I mean, maybe if you're saying, I'm healed, I've done this before where, you know, I've had a terrible headache, and I'm saying I'm healed, so I don't allow myself to lay around all day. I make myself get up. I went out. I do this several times. I like go take a walk. And I'm like, that's what I would do on a good day when I'm feeling good, right? And I'm pushing through. And I'm repeating the word. I'm saying, God, I'm healed through your stripes. I'm declaring that. But then I take action. And it's okay if you have to, you know, sometimes once in a while I break down and I take a Tylenol and I pray over it. And then I take, you know, do what you have to do. But make sure you're activating your faith. And don't, with what you're doing, don't undo your faith. That's the point, okay? Act, activate. Faith without works is dead. All right, move on. Next letter, who's got me? R. Okay, so we have say it, do it, receive it. How did she receive it? Verse 29 and 30 tell us. This is Mark 5. Immediately, wow, her manifestation of her miracle, her healing, for her, it wasn't, I mean, it was a process in what she did getting up to that point, but then it was immediately. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" Who touched my robe? There's a whole crowd of people. So after she touched Jesus' clothes in faith, she felt in her body, the word says. That was her receiving it. She felt that she was healed of the illness. Sometimes there's a physical feeling and people know I'm healed because they feel something. Sometimes you don't feel anything. And you may not see the manifestation of it. I've heard stories of 3 days later, then you know, a person was, thinking of the testimony, a person who was blind got their sight. I think it was a 3-day thing. So there might be a feeling, there might not be a feeling. But Jesus knew, in this case, in this woman's story, Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. He felt it, and she received it in her body. What if she had just kind of rejected it? It just came on her, but it says she felt it, right? And he knew it because he knew that power or virtue had left him. Okay, so notice the order here. The saying and the doing come before the feeling and the healing. The feeling and healing were later. Those come after. We have to line our words up, and then we've got to act on it. So the saying and the doing weren't steps 3 and 4. Those are steps 1 and 2. Start there, right? And if you realize that you're not saying the right thing, what do you need to do? Go adjust it, tweak it. Go back to last week's message about getting the word in your heart. Get it alive in your heart. John 14, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you've got to get his word about healing or whatever you're believing for alive in your heart, remaining in you. If it's, you'll know when it is because it just carries you and you can't speak anything different than that. So say it, do it. Those things come first. Then you receive it. And then let's continue on in the story. So then he says, "Who touched my robe?" Mark 5, verse 31. His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. That's step number 4. Did you hear it? It's a T. She told him. So it's tell it. We need to tell it. So this is another speaking. The first one was say it. This is tell it. Say it is just speaking it out. Tell it is, guess what happened to me? I got healed. That's telling it. Sorry, did I go off the screen? Sorry, live stream folks. praise the Lord. That's telling it. Go tell it on the mountain what Jesus did for you. Proclaim it. Proclaim it so that others might receive it. It is so powerful when you share a testimony. Have you ever been encouraged by hearing somebody else's testimony? Yes. Amen. Amen. It is powerful and encourages you. Like we said earlier, Sister Elizabeth said earlier, God is no respecter of persons. That means he's not just going to favor one person because he likes them better. That means his word, his principle is true for everybody who puts it into practice, right? So you hear a testimony, he can do it for me. And faith arise because you hear the word and you hear the word and what God did for somebody else. And another, if I could add another step, I would say, and this is something that I've really learned and that the Holy Spirit continues to remind me of, is you've got to rest in all of this, in the say it, in the do it, in the receive it, and the tell it. You've got to also just rest, because we can very easily get into striving with this faith stuff. And if you want to talk more about that, I'm your girl, because I've been there. And Sarah, I once knew, was a striver. I'm working so hard. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Do I have my miracle yet? No, not quite. But I've got, we've got to rest in his finished work. Maybe somebody can relate. Maybe it's just me. But we've got to rest in the finished work. Jesus did all that. He suffered. He was persecuted. He went through all of that, so I don't have to go through all of that. He did the hard part on the cross. My job is to rest in his finished work. It's his grace, and I receive that through my faith. So if you find yourself getting into striving, I can pray for you. I'll pray for you and pray, continue to pray for myself as well. Just rest that he did it and get into conversation with him, heart to heart. Jesus, is there something that's blocking this? Is there a reason why I'm not receiving? And chat with him. It's a relationship. He wants to tell you. Don't go the works route, because we know that doesn't work. It just gets you tired and frustrated. Ask Jesus what's going on with your faith and how to release that or how to build that. So then, the end of the story, the cherry on the top of the cake, Mark 5, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Praise the Lord. So he didn't say, "Daughter, I have healed you. The healer has made you well." What did he tell her that made her well? Your faith. Everybody say, your faith.
Your faith.
Now say, my faith.
My faith.
Because when Jesus says to you, your faith, that really means my faith. Get it? We're changing the pronouns here. Working on pronouns today, right, Pastor Don? Right? Jesus says to you, your faith has the ability to heal you. Because Jesus already did it. That's grace, what we talked about. It's done on the cross. Right? It's your faith. Like he said to her, your faith, because she did those four steps. She said it. She did it. Right? Say it. Do it. She received it. And she told it. She told and spoke out to others. Praise the Lord. So at the end of his vision, when Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin, he told him, if the believer doesn't write his own ticket of victory with God, nothing will be done about his situation. So he was telling him, through using this scripture story of the woman with the issue of blood, that's how you write your own ticket, by using your faith, by say it, do it, receive it, tell it. That's writing your own ticket with God. He said, if the believer doesn't write his own ticket of victory with God, nothing will be done about his situation. It would be a waste of their time to pray for me to give them the victory. They have to write their own ticket. Jesus showed up to Kenneth Hagin and told him that. They have to write their own ticket. How do you write your own ticket? What's your part? Say it. Faith. Faith. That's your part. You've got to write your own ticket with faith. Praise the Lord. He did it all for us, and we can do it through our faith. You have been saved through faith by grace. By grace through faith, you have been saved. Not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. It's all him. Faith releases what grace provided for us. So remember, S-D-R-T. Say it with me. S is, say it, D,
do it.
R,
receive it.
T,
tell it.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to do something active. We're going to do something prophetic. Miss Tanya, could you help me? Or they have it in the back. Okay, praise the Lord. So everybody's going to get a ticket, a blank check. So everyone, you can go ahead and pass those out. You're all going to get like what Liam got. Liam's sharing the wealth today, right, Liam? Praise the Lord. He's sharing. Jesus shared on the cross what he did. So you're all going to get one of these blank checks. This is for you to write your own ticket or check. Nobody's going to see it. You can take it home. It can be your bookmark in your Bible. Those of you that are old school like me and still have a Bible, I'm good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if there's extra, hold up if you guys have extra. If somebody wants to use double faith, she's got more. We made close to 30, I think we made. So praise the Lord. All right, so pay to the order of, that's where you write your name. That's you. It's made out to you. You can put today's date. And in the, you know, where you write the money total and the, where you write out, you know, $1,000, whatever, like you did for your tithe and your offering first fruits check, then you can write there what the Lord leads you to write. You can write a Bible verse. You can write what you are believing for, or on the memo where you write like for, like what this check is for, I would write my healing. So this is yours. You can do with it what you will. And guess who signed it? Jesus Christ in red. Get that? The blood of Jesus paid it all. It's written for you. You can write your own ticket with your faith and receive. So let that be a reminder to you. And let's hear testimonies. Bring back your testimonies. As we continue to journey together in this year and watch God respond to our faith, watch people receive, our brothers and sisters receive the manifestations of promises. Praise the Lord. So why don't you, even if you haven't finished filling that out, why don't you take that in your hand? We'll do it similar to like we did for the tithes and offerings check. Why don't you stand up? Been sitting a while. Stand up for a second and let's just pray together. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace on the cross of Calvary. You died to give us life and life abundantly. Thank you for our gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, that when we believed, we were saved. And Father, when we release our faith and we believe for any of the promises, because they are yes and amen, we receive them. That's what your word says, that as you pray, when you pray, believe, and you will have those things that you say and not doubt in your heart. Thank you, Lord, that we receive right now. We believe, we receive the manifestation of what we are believing for. I thank you, Father, for people receiving right now because they are releasing their faith. I thank you for people releasing their faith and receiving healing in their body. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for debts being paid and for financial breakthrough and financial miracle as people release their faith. I thank you, Father, for salvation for family members, for children, for spouses, for people that we are praying for, that when we release our faith, you grant it to us. It is done. It is written. We can take that bank or that check to the bank. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of your promises are yes and amen. We believe, we receive, and we thank you because you did the hard part. You gave us your gift of grace. It's a gift, and we receive it now. Just imagine yourself receiving that gift that he's given to you freely, just like you received your salvation just by believing. So you just believe and you receive your healing. You believe and you receive prosperity and provision, wholeness in every way, salvation for family members and anything else that you could be believing for. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. We love you, Lord. You are faithful and you are good. Help us, Father, to understand this partnership, this role that you give us and the role that you played. We want to bless your name and we want to see, Father,
thanks
that everything that you died to give us,
Father's
it
House
can be
podcast.
Released in our lives.
We hope you'll subscribe
you,
to hear our latest updates.
Thank you, Lord. So just thank him now.
My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.